Monday the 1st of June, Test Sivan, Bobby Sholom Siegel. Whatever happened to Mr. Kind?
In this week's Parsha, Parshas Noso, just before Ravi, the Torah instructs the regarding giving the Truma to the Kohen, and he says, "V'kol Truma v'kol Kotche b'nei Yisrael asher yakribu l'Kohen le'Yehiya," that all Truma you should make sure, all Matanos of Truma you should give to the Kohen, which obviously is rightfully his. And then the pasuk, next pasuk continues, "V'ishes kadoshav le'Yehiya," which Rashi explains that if you fail to give to the Kohen that which is rightfully his, you fail to give him the Truma, then kadoshav le'Yehiya. That's what you're going to end up with. You'll end up with your mice and nothing more. You won't get any more bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas, Isha she yitain la'kein lo yiyah. Whereas if you do get to the kein, as you should do, then lo yiyah, you'll get plenty back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mevorech you. Then the parasha continues into the next parasha, and that is that of Sota. And it says, as we know, the parasha comes straight after that. And Rashi says, why is that? And Rashi says that this, Ma'akos v'lamana meno inyan. What's written just above this? If you withhold the matanis of the Kohen, then chayecho, it's a guarantee, it's not just a warning, this is a guarantee, you'll have to make the journey to the Kohen in order to bring your own wife, the Sota, to the Kohen. And the question is very obvious, what's the connection between the two? Why not say that you're going to have to come to the Kohen in order to be diagnosed with Tzaras? Or say, maybe you have to come to the Kohen because I guarantee you're going to end up being Mechalel Shabbos and you have to bring Korban Chatos, you have to come to the Kohen for that. Why out of everything, why, what's the connection between the Sota and not giving to the Kohen? So, in order to answer this, we're going to have to go back a couple of days. Many will have had the Minhag on Shavuos and Shabbos to have read Megillas Rus. And I'd like to take a message from there, a lesson which is not just for Shavuos, it's a lesson for the whole year round, and perhaps then plug it into Parashas Noso. The Gemara says in Brachot that why was Rus called Rus? And the Gemara says because Al Shem David, because of David HaMelech who had come forth from her, and David HaMelech was Meraveu, he was Al Shem Shiriveu, he was Merave HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he saturated as it were the Rabbeinu Shleilam with the Shiras Vistish Brachos. Asked on the Gaon in his Pirush on Rus, he asked to then call Hashir. Why Rus? Rus is the Lashon of being Riveu, to be Merave, to enrich, to saturate Hashem. So call her Shir. I mean, surely that would be the more...
Shira.
Well, he actually says Shir. But, okay. So, one of these two. Call her something like that. And then, as we could ask another question is, I mean, very nice, obviously you're going to say her whole toughness was because of David HaMelech, but surely we say, it's clear from that Gemara itself, that the name of a person really represents their own essence. So in which way does the name Rus relate to her essence, rather than David HaMelech? Is there something more than just the connection to David HaMelech? And perhaps one question answers the other, and Hashem, if we have time, we'll come back to this question. But the main question I want to focus on is there's a medrash in Rus, which when Normie came back from having gleaned in the field of Boaz, when Rus came back from having gleaned in the field of Boaz, so Normie saw this overflowing basket and the leftovers of the meal which she had at Boaz, the bread and the various delicacies, and she said, who did this amazing chesed with you? So what did Rus answer? Ha'isha asher osisi imo, the man with whom I did the chesed, Shemo Boaz, his name is Boaz. Can you imagine you open your door to an Oni, there's an Oni standing at the door, and he tells you all his story, a very Nebuchadnezzar story, all this suffering, and you take him in, you give him a nice meal, and then you give him a very generous check, and he's still sitting there, you're wondering what more does he want. So you turn to him and say, is there anything more I can do for you? So he says, yes, can you say thank you to me? What do you mean? I should say thank you to you? After everything I've done for you, what do you mean? I should say, says the Medrash, yes. We learn from here, the man with whom I did the chesed, we learn from here that that more than the barabayis, more than the donor does for the recipient, the oni does for the barabayis. And obviously the classic explanation is you get back more than you give. But perhaps we can take it a bit further than that to try and understand why that is. So in order to explain this, I'm going to take Yesod of the God right at the beginning of the Megillah, right at the beginning of the Megillah through us. As we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has various names representing different attributes of the Rabbeinu Shalom as we perceive them. And two of them are that of Shakai and Yudke Vodke, Havaya. Shakai is that of Din, and he says that's because it comes from the expression of Dai, enough. Just like a father who has to, or a teacher who has to punish the child They don't enjoy it. It's not something they look to do. But if it's necessary, it's necessary. But you don't look to do it more than it's necessary. It's die. It's sufficient. Wherever it's necessary, that's the way it is. Whereas when it comes to chesed, the havaya, that's an acronym of hoyahoyvaviyya. He was, he is, and he will always be. Zainu, if you want the infinite nature, kaviyachal of Hashem. Right? This is the idea of chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built a world for chesed. Elom chesed yibane, he looks to do chesed, just like a father always wants to be kind, and shower his child with chesed. Says the Gaon, v'alakta b'drachov, we have to emulate these ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we do? How do we do this? How do we emulate these two middos? And he says, take a look at the mezuzah. You'll note on the mezuzah, if you take a look at the mezuzah, on the outside of the klaf is written the name Shakai. Whereas on the inside of the klaf, what's written there is the name Havaya. All the parashiyos is always written with Yudke Voke. There's no Shakai on the inside. Says the Vilna Gaon, the reason is, because when it comes to the outside, when it comes to the body, when it comes to the body's needs, eating, sleeping, working, whatever it is, that has to be with b'chinas da. It's got to be with the idea of being enough. What I need to do, but nothing more. Right? There's no inyan of hidur mitzvah when it comes to having a meal. You've had a three-course meal, to be mahad and have another three courses, right? That's, whereas when it comes to the neshama, that has to be hoyahoyvaviyya. There's no such thing as the neshama's needs being enough. You've learned a daf gemara, that's enough. No, there's more to be done. It's ongoing. You can never have done enough when it comes to the neshama. Perhaps that's why the mezuzah is actually on the doorpost. The idea of being the threshold between you, let's say, your home and the outside world. When you go out into the outside world, it's got to be with the idea of die. Inside your home, hopefully, or inside the Beis HaMedrash, you've created an atmosphere of Kedusha and Tahara, and you go out into the outside world, a place which, as we know, is not so holy. Right, the streets filled with impurities and the shmutz on the streets, but it's got to be with b'chinas die. As the Master of Rosh Hashiva used to always warn his Talmidim, it's got to be b'chinas die. Whatever is necessary. But then I come back to my home. My abode, the Beis HaMedrash, that's the place which is ongoing. And we find the same idea with the Tefillin. The Gaon doesn't say this, but the Tefillin you'll find exactly the same. On the outside of the Tefillin is the name Shakai. Right? On the Shel Rosh you've got the Shin, and the knots form a Dalet and a Yud. On the inside of the Tefillin, in the Parashis, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's the same message. And it comes out of this, therefore you can have two people. Let's say somebody who learns 10 hours a day, and he works 2 hours a day. And then you can have another person who, let's say he works 8 hours a day, and he only has a chance to learn, let's say, 2 hours a day. And you ask most people, so who's a better Jew? Who's going to get a bigger reward? So most people will tell you, well, obviously the first person, he learns 10 hours a day. Says the Vilna Gaon, not necessarily so. It depends on the hashkafa, it depends on the outlook. If the person who's learning 10 hours a day is just because he's got a very successful business and therefore he only has to work 2 hours a day, but behemoth, his learning is just an interruption. He's got a guilty conscience and therefore he feels he has to learn. Look, he's been given such a successful business, so no, he has to learn. But behemoth, it's a bit of a disruption to his life. Behemoth, he'd rather just enjoy himself, spend his money, then he's on the wrong road. Whereas the person who, let's say, he only has time to learn 2 hours a day, but Be'emes, that's what he believes he's in this world for. When he gets up in the morning, it's in order to daven. It's in order to learn. And that's how he ends his day. The working, the eating, the whatever it has to be, the exercising, yes, it's also a mitzvah. But Be'emes, that is just die. That's just an interruption. But the learning is the ongoing thing. Then he's on the right path. This is what's going on over here. And that's why Birkas HaTorah, almost just one further raya, Birkas HaTorah, Tosfos says in Brachos, that a person makes Birkas HaTorah in the morning, and that covers him for the rest of the day. He may not learn anything till right before he goes to bed. He still doesn't make a new bracha. The answer is, why, says Tosfos? Because a person is always connected to the Torah. He never has Hesach HaDas. His mind is never removed from the Torah. Right? Even whatever he's doing during the day, but for Emes, his Gemara is always open. In the figurative sense, his Gemara never closes. And therefore, he never makes a new Birkas HaTorah during that day. It's ongoing. So now if we apply this back to the case of the Oni. The Oni comes to the door. And he knocks on the door, and you open the door, and he tells you all his story. It's a very distressful story. And you're thinking, so how much should I give? And you take a pound out of your pocket, and you think, without you've been Yotzer, right? The Moshe. Suddenly there's a small voice inside, emanates from the Neshama, and the Neshama says, come on, if that was your brother, would that suffice? If that was... Behemoth, we're all linked. We're all one big neshama. We are all brothers. So therefore, come and give him something a bit more generous than that. So the Gufta to the Neshama says, it's very nice for you to say that. Who sat in the office 8 hours during the day, right? Who's worked for this? Who worked in the field? Was it you? The Neshama says, you're right. It wasn't me. I'd rather be sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, right? I'm not interested in this. But look, I tell you what, says the Neshama, do a chesed with me, right? Why are you doing a chesed with me? Because, look, I've come into this world, I don't really want to be here. I'd rather be connected to Hashem. So why is it that I'm not connected to Hashem? The answer is the Guf. The body forms a partition between us and Hashem. So I tell you what, if you are mavata to me, if you stand aside and you let me control, I'll be your bank manager if you want to decide where that money goes, then with that you, so to speak, stand aside, you're mavata yourself to me, you become subsidiary to me, and with that, the Guf stands aside, I can connect to Hashem. And if he does that, says the Vilna Gaon, that is the biggest act of chesed. When you give that stocker, it's the Guf doing an act of chesed with a neshama. And what's the result of that? The Guf stands aside, you connect with Hashem. And yes, then it's poshut. That's obviously why. If your neshama, the ongoing elements within you, connects with Hashem, the middle chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Havaya, then of course you're going to get a tremendous chesed with Hashem, and you get back much more than you gave. It's obvious why that would be. It's not a tremendous reward. That's what you'd expect. When the Guf stands aside, does the act of chesed with the neshama connects with Hashem, then he's repaid because HaKadosh Baruch Hu now connects with him, and the chesed is showered down. This is what's going on, and that's what Rus was saying over here. The man with whom I did the chesed, Daniel, I enabled his neshama to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, it's actually the Oni who's doing the bigger chesed. Yes, it's obviously because you get more back, but it's more than that, because ultimately you're allowing the person to connect with Hashem. That's what's going on in this medrash. Elimelech was a very, very rich man, as we know. He was a very big bald stock as well. Rashi tells us right at the beginning of the Megillah, he was the Parnas Hadar. He supported his generation. All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Eretz Yisrael with famine, and he decides he's going to go to Moav. Why did he go to Moav? The answer is, he was in Eretz Yisrael, it's a land of spirituality, it's a land of the Neshama. And now, for whatever reason, we'll discuss in a second why this was, but for some reason, he suddenly, this middle Tzoras Ayin, the complete antithesis of what we've just spoken about, enters inside him. How can he stay in Eretz Yisrael? The land of the Neshama, how can he stay there? And yet, his body is going to, as we'll see, it's going to assert its authority and say, I'm not opening my doors to the Aniyim. He can't do that. His conscience would eat away at him. So what does he do? He goes to Moav. What's Moav? The Vilna Gaon says Moav is Gematria 49. It's the place of Aul Tumas. It's the place where they excel in enjoying life. So he goes to Moav. What's the idea of going to Moav? Logur b'stei Moav, because he'll fit into society. But he thinks this is a temporary move. When the famine's over, I'll go back to Eretz Yisrael. But the inevitable happens. What's that? By you, Yishon. Says the Vilna Gaon, they went there to sojourn. And what happens? They settled into society. He felt at home there, everyone there being very stingy, and he settles in. So what happens? By you, Yishon. They settle there. The next words are, by Yomos Elimelech. Elimelech died. Because the Guf now was completely standing its ground, it was forming a division between his neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama, as it were, was suffocated, and therefore the neshama returned to Hashem. So there's nothing more I can do for you in this world. The neshama went back to Hashem. And then, if you take a look at the words of Normi, when she came back to Eretz Yisrael, so everyone said, what happened to you, Normi? She said, Al tekren oli Normi, don't call me Normi, keren oli moro, call me bitter. Why? Listen to the words here. Listen to the Shemus she uses. Because the Shakai, which is Midas Adin, but that means the body. It's because we went to Moav, because we went in pursuit of the body's needs, and in pursuit of the enjoyment of life, to be able to spend that money, that's why I suffered. That's why I was punished. She continues, I went full, I had everything, I had money, a husband, children, fame, everything. Vereikon Heshivani, not Shakai, Hashem. Vereikon Heshivani, Yudke Volke. Now I've come back empty. Taka, I've come back empty. There's nothing to stop, to form a partition to me and Hashem. But what brought me back? It's Hashem. It's the Neshama's being pulled in towards Eretz Yisrael. It's the Neshama's attraction to the spirituality of Eretz Yisrael. She says, Lomas Ekredo Di Normi. Why are you calling me Normi? Vashem onovi, again, Vashem, the Neshama was warning me, was crying out to me, please don't go to Moel, please don't desert me, please don't leave me behind. Vishakai Hirali, that I ignored it, I went in pursuit of the body's enjoyment, therefore Vishakai, the body, right? That's what caused me all this punishment. So you see, normally realize later on, this is where it all went wrong. But there's an obvious question, Elimelech wasn't a simple person. Right? It's clear he wasn't so how could he have made such a mistake? The answer is, at least one of the answers, the Gemara in Baal Basra says, the answer is that it was, if you want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Kovei Es Bechira. This was a plan, this was a journey which was guided from above in order to pave the way for Rus. Let's think about Rus now. So we've seen Elimelech, he left Eretz Yisrael behind, he left the lands of the Neshama behind him to go to the lands of the Gur. What does Rus do? Completely the opposite. She was masaking everything. She had inside her, the Neshama of David HaMelech was suffocating inside Moel. How's it going to come? So remember, she's not just on a Moabite. She's about as Moabite as you can possibly get. She's a princess. She's Bas Bitter, Shalekin HaMelech Moel. And she leaves it all behind. She leaves everything behind. All the money. She was a complete pauper. She arrives in Eretz Yisrael. She had to go searching in the fields of Bayaz. Why? Because something was pulling her towards Eretz Yisrael. If you want the Neshama of David HaMelech, was her own. And the Shomer suddenly was pulling her towards this land of spirituality. And then she left everything behind and went to Eretz Yisrael. This is the complete opposite over here. And finally she comes and she meets Boaz. And what does she say? And then she comes back and Rus asks her, "Nu, who's done this?" Normally says to her, "Who did this amazing chesed with you?" And she answers, "Ha'ish asher al-sisi moshamo Boaz. I did the amazing chesed with him. Not that he did the amazing chesed, I did the amazing chesed with him. Because I've allowed it, as we said, I've allowed his neshama to get closer to Hashem." But let's go one stage further, which will continue this theme. And that is based on a Medrash Ne'elam. There's a Medrash Ne'elam that Gaon often brings down, not over here, but which says that the ish, the male, always refers to the neshama. The isha always refers to the guf. Right? Inside the word ish, you've got the yud. The Gemara Menachah says that HaKadosh Baruch created Olam Haba with the yud. And Olam HaZeh is with the hay, therefore that's why the isha is the hay, right? So that's the ish is always a connotation of the neshama. The isha is the guf. So that being the case, let's go back to what happened with Elimelech. Elimelech, it says at that point when he went down to Moel, it says Vayiyushom, he became permanently settled there. It says Vayomos Elimelech. Elimelech died. What's the next word? Ishnomi. And the Mephoshim, the Malvin, what's Ishnomi? What's that doing over there? The Malvin's got a pshat. But the answer is, Vayomos Elimelech Ishnomi. Because his body asserted its authority. It said, "I'm not willing to give money. I'm not going to see to the needs of the Neshama. I'm not going to allow it to get closer to Hashem. Therefore, Vayomos Elimelech Ishnomi. The Neshama of Nomi." Right? The husband, the Neshama of Nomi was taken from this world. That's what it means, Ishnomi. The Neshama of Nomi. She was the Guf, he was the Neshama, he was taken from this world. It was Midah Kanega Midah. What happens? Now Rus comes to Eretz Yisrael to be Misakin, and everything turns on its head. She comes along and she says, Ha'ish asher al-sisi emoshamo bayas. It's clear, again, from the Megillah and the various Mepharshim, that she already knew at this point, perhaps through a spark of Ruach HaKodesh, that she was already destined to marry Boaz. She was going to be his Guf, he was going to be her Neshama. She says, "Ha'ish asher al-sisi emoshamo bayas." The man, the neshama with whom I did this chesed, that neshama that I've allowed to get closer to Hashem, his name is Bayas. By going to the field and allowing him to do this chesed with me, but ever I've allowed his neshama, our neshama, as it will be in the not too distant future, I've allowed it to get closer to Hashem. That's the amazing chesed she did. That's the amazing chesed she did with Bayas. If we go back now to Parshas Nosa, you'll see how this all plugs into Parshas Nosa and it flows right through. The first thing we have is giving the Matanos to the Kohen. Again, you're going to have exactly the same conflict between the Guf and the Neshama. The Guf is going to say, "Why should I give to the Kohen? What's the Kohen done for me? He should go and work his own land." Says the Pasuk, if that's your attitude, lo yi. You're going to end up, Ishas Kadosh of Layi, you're going to end up with nothing more. If the Guf asserts its authority and says, "I'm not willing to budge," then the Guf divides between you and Hashem. You have no connection to the Midas HaChesed of Hashem, and you'll get no more Chesed from Hashem. Fine, if that's the way you want it, no problem, says Hashem, do it. You're going to get nothing more from me. You're not connected to me, you're like the son who's deserted his father, so obviously you can't expect any more chesed from Hashem. The carries on the next parasha and says that this, that if you take this outlook in life, that you say that your guf is more important than your neshama. The guf says, I'm independent, I'm not going to be tough, and I'm not going to be subsidiary to the neshama. Says the Torah, not just a warning, chayichem, it's a very powerful lashon, chayichem, I promise you, that your own wife, your own guf is going to do exactly the same. She's also going to assert her authority. She's going to say, why should I be subsidiary to my husband? I should, no way. And she'll go off, and she'll be independent, she'll go off with another person. That's the connection between the two. If your guf, in the literal sense, is independent and says it's not willing to become toppled to the neshama's needs, then says the Torah, Chayichem, I promise you, your own guf, your own wife will do exactly the same. It's your fault. Don't blame it on her. It's because of you. You're going to end up having to bring her to the Kohen because of this. In order to drink the waters of the Sota, because of this, she's going to assert toward her authority. And then as we continue on, you'll see exactly that follows straight through into the next parasha. The next parasha is that of the Nozir. And Chazal tell us why, what's the connection between the Nozir and the Sota? Say Chazal, because when the person sees the Sota b'kulkula, they see how the Sota is degraded in such a fashion. He'll say, what caused this is because she gave to the Baal, she gave him to drink wine, and because of that, that led to everything, so therefore, he'll make a neder to abstain from wine. But then, as we think about it, it goes much, much deeper than that. What are the three Yisurim an Ozer takes on? Number one is not to drink wine. Number two is to grow his hair and then cut it. And number three is not to come into contact with any Tumas Meis. And they all have one common denominator, and that is to show the Neshama's control. Let's think about it. When a person becomes intoxicated, you see on Purim, a person becomes intoxicated, what happens? Nipnas Yayin Yitzisot. The internal becomes external. All the secrets pour forth. The body acts of its own accord without any internal drive behind it. So therefore, the Nozir says he's not going to have any wine, so that his neshama will be able to be in control. Next thing is the growing of the hair. There's a story told in Nozir and in Nedarim about Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik never used to eat from the korban of a Nozir who became Tomei. Because he was scared that maybe by having become Tomei, they'd had to start again. They may have regretted the whole thing, so it wasn't completely the same Shemayim. Except one time he ate from the korban of a Nozir. And they asked him, why? What's Pshat? He said, I'll tell you the story. One time I met this young man, a very, very good-looking young man, and he had beautiful locks. And I said to him, I realized he was a Nozir, and I said to him, what sparked you to become a Nozir? So he said, one time I was a shepherd for my father, and I took the sheep down to the Mayon, to the fountain, to drink, and I suddenly caught a glance of my face inside the waters. And I thought to myself, wow, what a good, it says, Nechmas bi yitzhara, the yitzhara got inside me. I thought, wow, what a good looking person I am. And then I told myself, I said, what's going on here? This is the world which doesn't belong to you, this, and your body which is going to end up, Rimo v'seleya, is going to be food for the Rimo v'seleya. What's going on in it? So therefore I made a nade at that point, I'm going to grow my hair and I'm going to cut it off. So what do you see of it? The idea in growing the hair and cutting it off is in order to quash the desires of the body, the body's independence, feeling of how beautiful it is, because he realizes this is not the place for the body. This world ultimately is the place of the Olam HaBa, it's the place for to bring the neshama through to where it's got to go. That's the idea in growing the hair. Growing the hair and then cutting it off is to remove, to take away the stress from the dogish, from the body's needs. And then finally we come to Tumas HaMeis. What is Tumas HaMeis? So again, based on the Zayar, we're told that the Pshat in Tumas HaMeis, why does a mace have Tumah to it? And we're told, just take, for example, take a look at a carcass. Once an animal dies, suddenly all the vermin and the filth and the flies are attracted to it. Why? The answer is because there's a void there, there's an emptiness of life. And therefore, whenever there's an emptiness, it has to be filled. So what's it filled with? The answer is impurities. So too, during a person's lifetime, they're filled inside them with the kedusha of the neshama. When a person dies, the neshama leaves the body, and there's a void, there's something which needs to be filled. So the tumah is attracted to it. So therefore, what is a mace? The tumah of a mace is really a body without a neshama. Therefore, the nozir can't come into contact with that. It's complete opposite of what he's standing for. So therefore, all these three are certain points to one point, and that is that the neshama is going to be in control, the body is full of the neshama, and if such a person has the nezer of al, he has the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon his head, he's completely connected to Hashem, This is the idea. The flow, if you want, through the parasha, from the person who does or doesn't give to the kohen, then through to the zota. If your body asserts its authority, then your own wife will assert her independence. And then we come to the next parasha, is the nazir who finally takes the message, hopefully, from it, and says that he's going to make sure that doesn't happen to him, and therefore he accepts various gedorim, various siyogim, in order to ensure that the neshama is in control. Let's go back to Rus now. Let's finish off the story with Rus. You'll see how this follows through. Rus, at the end of Perek Gimel in the Megiddo, finally she's come down to the field during that night, and it comes the morning, and what does Boaz say to her? Boaz says, take your skull, and he says, Vayomol shish sa'irim, and he measured out 6 barleys, whatever that means, and he gave it to her. What's going on over here? It sounds a bit like taking off the scarf, this idea of uncovering the hair, like the sota. The sa'irim, again, is connected to the sota, right? The sota brings a barley offering. But, I mean, that's what I thought, but then I thought, what's the connection to the sota? But I found the barley taste, we see, yes it is, it's connected to the sota, but they don't explain how. What's Peshat? And it seems the answer is, because if you remember the sota, there's 2 flip sides to the coin. The sota comes along and she drinks the waters, and one of 2 things happens. Either she meets a very nasty ending, or the complete opposite. She's zeicha to children, very distinguished children, very special childbirth and special children. Here Rus comes along and she's very, very faithful. She could have, because it wasn't a proper yibum that was required here. Most Mephoshim learn that she was never actually married to Machlin. Says Boaz, he tapped chastecho acharim in arishayim. And as I think it's the Malbim explains, because Behemoth, as we said, when you married Machlin the first time, that was during his lifetime, and therefore there was good reason to marry him. Now you're doing an amazing chesed. You're staying back in order to retrieve, if you want, the neshom, that's the whole idea of Yibum, to continue on the legacy of Machlin. And therefore, you're willing to marry me. Boaz, a very old man, he was a very old man at this point, and you could marry him, Dalvin, or you could marry anyone you want at this point. You're still relatively young, and what a chesed you're doing with the neshama of Machlin. Right? So therefore, she was 40 at this point, the Medrash says. So, anyway, so... There was no actual binding here. Let's explain why, I mean, it's not for now, what the Yibum was. So, anyway, so then what happens is, he says, take off the scarf, and he measures out 6 sa'irim. As if to say, because you have come through the other side of the sota, you are complete, the other flip side of the sota, you've stayed loyal to your husband, as it were, therefore, vayomo shesh sa'irim, says Rashi, what's the shesh sa'irim? It's keneged David HaMelech. It was a remnant of David HaMelech, who would have the 6 very special middos, and that's why it was already being meravi, said, you're going to be zeichet to David HaMelech, a very, very special child. Why? Because you've stayed faithful to your husband. You stay faithful, and that's the complete opposite of the Sotah. And therefore, that seems to be what's going on over here. Because you've done the ultimate chesed, and this starts with the chesed between, also in the field, like we've seen in Parashas Nos, it starts with the chesed in the field, between Boaz and Rus, the Neshama and the Guf, and then it continues on between the Parashah and the Sotah. Right? The idea of the husband and wife staying faithful, because of that, you're going to be zeichet to David HaMelech. And this is the answer to our first question. For the last 2 minutes, to finish off, that Rus, that represents her whole outlook on life. She went in search of the neshama, the ongoing elements within inside her. That was why she was called Rus. The lotion of saturation, of ongoing, not a lotion of die, of sufficient. There's never enough. She's always looking for more and more. She left everything behind in search of that. That's the lotion of Rus. And because of that, she was zeichet to a son, to David, or a few generations down the line, to David HaMelech. Who David HaMelech was going to do exactly the same. He was going to be Merava HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shiras V'Tishbachis. He was going to saturate, as it were, Hashem B'Shiras V'Tishbachis. David HaMelech died on Shavuos, which safe to assume, the various foreign assume, that he was obviously also born on Shavuos. Shavuos is a day without a date. There's no fixed date to Shavuos. It's just 50 days after Pesach. Yes, nowadays we have it on the 6th and 7th in Chutz La'aretz. But then it could be, depending on Chosah, and yes, and whether it's Chosah or Moly the month, there's a few days it can end up on. It doesn't have a fixed date. Shavuot in itself is beyond 7 weeks. It's already out of the parameters of the natural. It's already gone beyond David HaMelech lived a life in this world, but beyond the parameters of time. Yes, David HaMelech also had various things, undertakings. He had to look after Klal Yisrael, he had to fight battles. So therefore, yeah, that was true. But ultimately, he lived a life which was in search of spiritual pursuits, and which would eventually bring us to the days of Moshiach, which he had now carved the path for Moshiach, who will, Be'ezus Hashem, come and take us back through up this path of David HaMelech, back to the Beis HaMikdash, where we will be able to feed the Neshama what it really wants.